For those of you who are with us in person, those who are with us online, those who are in the sanctuary, it's so good to worship with you. Yeah, like was said, we're celebrating our anniversary. And I feel like in the first so many years of the life of the church, whenever I would say that, like, oh, it's our fourth anniversary or fifth, like everyone was like surprised. It wasn't like we totally expected that. It was more like, oh, I didn't see that coming. So it's nice because I think like at year 18, I think people at least assume we'll make it to the next year. But we do want to come together. We want to praise God. We want to thank him. And so let me just pray for us, and then we'll jump into a short devotional. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your kindness. And as we celebrate our anniversary, let us be ever mindful that we are really celebrating you and your faithfulness to us. You've been so very good to us. And even though it has been a challenging year, your love has been unrelenting. It has never failed. And amazingly, you have loved us both during the difficulties and even through them. And so, Lord, as we listen to your word and then hear testimonies, may they declare not that we are great, but that you are great, that you are always loving, constantly faithful, ever gracious. We love you, we praise you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, every year we do celebrate her anniversary, and the reason we do it is because we are, as people, prone to forget, and specifically to forget that the many ways that God has been kind and gracious to us. Now, in the past, actually, one of the things we've actually focused on is not forgetting about God when things are going so well. We would look at a passage like Deuteronomy 8 and how God warns Israel as they were going into the promised land not to forget God in the middle of their prosperity. Right? He says this in Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18, "Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day." And so we've tried to consider that same truth for our lives as we've experienced prosperity. Not only because God has been faithful to this church, we've experienced stability and some growth, but we live in a prosperous area. And many of you have experienced God's circumstantial and material blessings. And so at times we've tried to remember not to forget God in the middle of his undeserved blessings. But this year, it definitely feels different, right? Our minds aren't as easily drawn towards the good things that have happened recently. I'm sure for many of you, there's many of you who feel like forgetting God in your prosperity is like the least of your problems. This last year has been hard in so many ways, from the trivial to the tragic. And yet that being said, I think one of the things that is unique to Christianity is that we can be joyful and thankful when things are difficult. Not just in the good, but in the hard and even the bad. And this is because our God is so great. His beautiful and loving plan can even be accomplished in the darkness and in the difficulties. Meaning that we really must take time to kind of look back at a very hard year and thank God for his abundant faithfulness. Maybe think of a project my daughter had a little while back in school, where she and her classmates had to put together a display recognizing a courageous leader. So first of all, honestly, I was distracted. I'm sure my daughter's project was fine. She did Johnny Erickson Tada. I didn't look too closely at hers, though, because when I got there to the auditorium, the project next to hers was amazing. It was titled Get Norrised by Chuck, on the courageous leader who is Chuck Norris. And so I looked around, and there was like one to Ann Judson and one to Corrie ten Boom, who survived the concentration camps. But the one who had the most presentations was Chuck Norris, with little-known facts like Chuck Norris can lift Thor's hammer, and Chuck Norris has a grizzly bear carpet in his room. It's not dead. It's just afraid to move. So like, they knocked it out of the park. It was amazing. So again, I was a bit distracted. But aside from Chuck, they had these courageous leaders, many of them Christian. And one of the things that marked so many of them, their lives, was their gratitude in the middle of suffering. I mean, look at someone like Johnny, and she said she is thankful for her quadriplegia because it has led to deeper faith in Christ. I mean, can you imagine saying, Lord, thank you that I'll never walk again? Now, Ann Judson, one of the first female American foreign missionaries, though she suffered greatly, she said, surely no person ever has had so much reason for thankfulness as I. Corrie ten Boom famously thanked God for the many, many fleas in her room in the concentration camp because they kept the guards away. But again, this is kind of something that makes us as believers unique. That despite the suffering we experience, we can be thankful because we believe that God is relentlessly loving and faithful. As Paul said from prison, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. For me, it brought to mind Psalm 69. Psalm 69 is a psalm of lament written by David during a time of suffering. Listen to how darkly this psalm begins. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3. He says, save me, O Lord, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I've come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I'm weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. And so David feels like he's drowning, right? And he's been crying out so much that his throat is parched, the imagery being more than simply even being in danger, but that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness. That's kind of the slow, painful sinking towards an inevitable end. Maybe some of you have felt like this, maybe almost like you're drowning, like you're struggling for breath this past year. And this isn't an indictment against face masks. It's a picture of this kind of this searching for air and struggling to find it. If you continue in the psalm, David goes on to share not only about his own failures, his own sins, but really the attacks of his enemies. And then he does what we kind of expect him to do. He calls out for God. Psalm 69:14, deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Then in verses 16 through 18, answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul. Redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies. And again, I think a lot of us can relate to this because when things are difficult, we call out to God. And maybe you feel like that, as much as anything, has really described this past year. You kind of feel like you're drowning and you're calling out to God. It's been a year of pressure and praying coupled with this pleading and this praying. But as we continue in our passage, we see that David's response does not end with the petitioning, but with his praising. Listen how David a bit unexpectedly shifts the focus. Verse 29 first says this, but I'm afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. Okay, so listen to that. I'm afflicted and in pain. What are his very next words? Verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or bull with horns and hoofs. When the humble see if they will be glad, you who seek God, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. So David's somewhat shocking response to I am afflicted and in pain is I will praise the name of God. And there's a particular phrase in there that I think helps make sense of David's thinking and his worship. In verse 30, he says, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. What does he mean by magnify? Literally, it has the idea of making something great. But it doesn't mean that we are making God bigger than he is right now, but it's the idea of showing God for who he truly is. John Piper describes it as the difference between a microscope and a telescope. Right? A microscope magnifies by making something that's small appear to be large. But a telescope magnifies by making something that is large but appears small to be more realistic in size, for example, a star. Right? A star seems small, but the reality of its size would shock us if we could really grasp its immensity. And so a telescope makes it seem more like its true size. And the picture we have here in Psalm 69 is that of a telescope. David wants people to see how big God truly is. Because in suffering, people struggle to see God. Their understanding of him is too small. Maybe he seems absent altogether. He seems like a star in the sky, a speck of light, barely visible, maybe dimmed by the man-made lights around him. And so David wants to magnify him. And interestingly, he doesn't simply magnify him by talking about him, right? By giving information about him. He specifically says, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I think I would have said, hey, I know you're suffering, but God is not big enough in your heart, so let me give you a ton of facts about him. Let me give you a 3-point sermon on God. And David says, I'll just thank him. But do you see how that magnifies God? Because gratitude and suffering preaches a sermon that says, my God is so great, so loving, so amazing, that I will thank him in my suffering, because I am convinced that he is doing far more than I can ask or imagine. Right? It says, I know he is being faithful and will be faithful. It says, I believe there's a bigger and a better story than my suffering depicts. In other words, with our thanksgiving, especially in suffering, I magnify God. I show people how big and great and amazing and loving he really is. Again, there's no question this last year has been hard. All have suffered in some way. Some of you have suffered in profound ways. And yet I pray that your gratitude would magnify God. And really, this magnifying God isn't just about trying to remember God, but there is this upward and this inward and this outward result. It begins upward when we magnify God with thanksgiving. We're praising him. And again, this makes sense. We're acknowledging that God is good and faithful. Our difficulties actually aren't the central point of our lives like we imagine them to be. God is central. In fact, in verse 31, he says, this will please the Lord more than an ox or bull with horns and hoofs. In other words, even more than offering sacrifices to God, he wants gratitude. And so consider that for a moment. Do you want to honor God in a season of COVID and unrest and cultural change? Then be thankful. Recognize God's goodness. Be unending in your gratitude. But it's not just upward, but it's inward. As we magnify God through our thanksgiving, the faith in our hearts grow. He's magnified in what we believe. The greater we understand who God is and what he does, the greater our love and trust will be. Remember, because we're sinners and we don't deserve blessing or kindness or mercy or love, we don't deserve those things. We deserve separation and punishment. The way Romans 6 describes it, the wages for our life or what we've earned for our life, what we deserve for our life is death. And yet God sent his son to not only live among us, but to die for us. To suffer the wrath of God in our place. And so, again, surprisingly, as we turn from our sin and put our faith in Jesus, we're forgiven, and as his children, we're forever the objects of his love. And what this means is that God will constantly be faithful to us. As Romans 8:32 describes it, if he has already accomplished the greatest act of faithfulness in sending his son to die for us, we can trust that he will continuously be faithful throughout all of life. Meaning that even in suffering, we have to believe that God is being faithful. And so as we discipline our hearts to continually see Christ's faithfulness and thank him for it, it moves us towards him in that faith. In fact, one of the things I really want to encourage you to do this week is to spend time on your own thanking God and letting him be magnified in your heart. I mean, think back to this very hard year and spend time thanking God. And then do it with others. Maybe your family during family worship or with your friends, so that their thankfulness will magnify God in your heart. Let their gratitude fuel your love and worship. And lastly, it's not just upward and inward, but outward. As we magnify God through our thankfulness, we preach a powerful message about our great God. I mean, when we can be thankful in the middle of our suffering, we tell people that our God is amazing. This is something I've been thinking about a lot in light of our study in John 17. But I think one of the best ways we witness to this world in a world so opposed to Christ is that we demonstrate that we are different, right? Not just by our beliefs, but in our joy and in our gratitude, right? This gratitude says something about our God. And so by thanking him in our pain, we tell the world that he's amazing, right? That he's doing far more than we see, that he's doing great things even in our suffering, and that he's worthy of our faith and our love. Again, our thankfulness preaches a great message about our great God. So Lighthouse, let us magnify God in our thanksgiving. Now this morning, as is our tradition, we wanted to magnify God with thankfulness through some of our members sharing testimonies of his faithfulness. And what I appreciate about the testimonies is they aren't stories of prosperity. right, in the worldly sense. In fact, all of them share challenges, whether circumstantial or in their own hearts. But in that, not despite that, but in that, they share about how God was so very thankful. So though to the world God might seem small, in their thanksgiving they magnify God. And so as you listen, understand the point to let Christ be magnified in your heart as you recognize how good and great, how faithful and loving he has been. And so first, we'll have Matt Yoshihara, and then David and Jamie Lee, and lastly, Kelly and Shelley Kira. And so Matt, will you come share with us?
Good morning, Lighthouse. My name is Matt Yoshihara, as Pastor Kim said, and I'm honored to share with you a testimony of God's faithfulness to me and my time here at Lighthouse. Over this past year, it has been such a joy to be part of this community. And I'd like to quickly share two ways I have seen God's faithfulness put on display. Through Lighthouse, God has provided me a community who, one, has encouraged me when I wrestled with loneliness, and two, sharpened me when I became apathetic in my faith. To give you all a little bit of background, I was born and raised in Seattle, went to undergrad in Seattle, went to church in Seattle, and moved to the area about a year and a half ago, before the pandemic was even a thing. Many have asked if I had moved to the area for work, and my usual reply has been, I actually work remotely as a software engineer, so I decided to move for fun. And while there was nothing wrong with my situation back in Seattle, I've always had the desire to explore other cities in different communities. I already had some close friendships with some other young adult members here at Lighthouse, and it was really important for me to have a strong community around me, and so I decided to come here. Upon moving, I underestimated how isolated I would feel despite knowing some people here already. I knew that moving to a new community would be a challenge, but I did not imagine that it was going to be as lonely as it was. And loneliness, historically, has been something that I struggled with. And so when the pandemic hit back in March, I began to feel disappointed and worried. I worried that my plans of getting plugged in right away, meeting new people, and building strong connections with others was going to be even harder now that we can't meet in groups or in person anymore. But little did I know, God in his sovereignty had something greater in store for me. All my expectations of what life would look like when I moved had to be surrendered to him. And God, knowing what is best for me, provided community through a Praxis nightly Bible study with other brothers and sisters with whom I drew very close with. We studied the word together, we got very confused together, prayed together, shared testimonies together, embarrassed one another night in, night out, memorized scripture together, you name it. I felt seen, I felt heard, and I felt loved by this group. I felt encouraged to find joy in Christ and not solely in my connections with others. And I'm so thankful that God provided such an encouraging space during the beginning of the pandemic. However, throughout the fall and summer, I began to be more involved in Praxis, and I also became a church member. But life started to become increasingly comfortable working at home and also doing church online. And because of that, I began to rely less and less on the Lord and more on myself. You would think that God providing me a community in the midst of the pandemic would make me more thankful and more affectionate toward him. But in my sinful and selfish nature, I quickly forgot about him and began to idolize other things. My heart desired to be self-sufficient, and I found pride in handling things on my own. I began to believe the lie that I don't really need God right now. And while I never outwardly would say that I don't need God, my actions were saying something entirely different. I became more and more concerned with my investment portfolio instead of meditating on the word. I became more concerned with advancing in my engineering career instead of coming to God in prayer. And overall, I became more concerned with living my life according to how I wanted to live it and when I wanted to live it, rather than leaning on the Lord for his guidance. It became very easy for me to spend hours focused on other things, yet I struggled to make individual time with the Lord. And while being a good steward of my finances and career are good things and not inherently sinful, my actions and my heart showed that I was apathetic toward my relationship with God. And the weight of my sin of idolizing finances of career continued to grow in my heart. I had forgotten the true joy of fellowship with our Father. And so fast forward to the beginning of March this year, Pastor Kim encouraged us to see that eternal life is not about length of life, but eternal relationship with our Father. I was reminded then that my relationship with God had been stagnant, and I had been overlooking my own sin. I had forgotten how devastating it was, and my faith was becoming rooted simply in knowledge about God instead of that joyful relationship with him. So over these past couple of months, God's faithfulness has really been put on display through the encouragement from other brothers and sisters here in the Lighthouse family. Through prayer, discussion time in small groups, in praxis, in discipleship, in meeting with my roommates, and generally living life with others, I felt comforted, seen. I felt heard and cared for by the church family. I began to see my sin for what it was, and the joy of being in relationship with God began to reignite. I was reminded how crucial that is to have that joyful relationship. Because in light of eternity, I don't get to take my bank account nor my work accolades with me to heaven. I began to regularly confront my sin, seek accountability for my sin, and enjoy the comfort of sitting in God's presence. It's still a fight to find joy in Christ over the things of the world today, but I have assurance that finding joy in Christ is a fight worth fighting for. Thank you.
Well, hello. I'm David, and this is my wife, Jamie. You can take your mask off if you want. Yeah. She's the better looking of the two of us. So we have three kids, Abby and Sophie and Owen, and it's a privilege to be able to testify to God's goodness and faithfulness on this anniversary Sunday. So I've been at Lighthouse for 18 years, since its very first Sunday, when I was a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed college student looking for a decent church and a free lunch. Jamie and I were dating in college, and she was attending college in Northern California, and she would come down and visit and would attend Lighthouse when she was here. And after she graduated, she moved here to Southern California in 2006, and we began attending Lighthouse together. For both of us, when we think of the ways that God has been faithful to us during our time at Lighthouse, that's like asking us to think about the ways that we breathe oxygen in our time on earth. To share the ways that God has been faithful to us in our many years at Lighthouse would take way too long, even for my long-winded preaching standards. But out of all those years, this past one was certainly the most unique. The challenges and changes that we all experienced as a church, as a family, and individually were nothing that we could have ever predicted or prepared for. But at the same time, God proved himself faithful again and again. Paul declared in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. And this year, there were so many moments when we didn't even know what to ask for or what to think. And yet God was able to do so much more than we could have imagined. And the picture of our lives this past year probably looked a lot like yours. I don't think we'd say there was anything unusual or unique or special about us. Jonathan Holmes guest preached for our church early in the pandemic, and something he said when he was sharing his testimony, he just really stuck with me. He said, "We're all in the same storm, just different boats." But we'd like to share a little bit about what life was like for us in the Lee family boat this year.
So at the beginning of 2020, in my mind, I had felt that big changes were on the horizon for my life and for our family. With our youngest finishing up his illustrious one-year career in preschool and looking forward to having all three kids in school full-time in the fall, it seemed there laid before me an endless array of possibilities of how God would have me use my time. Would I go back to work? What new ministry opportunities would I now be more available for? Though outwardly, I would say to those whom I would talk to, we'll see what God wants. Inwardly, in my self-reliance and presumption, I couldn't see any reason why I wouldn't be able to go back to work. I love being a stay-at-home mom, and I wouldn't trade that opportunity for anything. But at the same time, I was looking forward to reclaiming the roles that I had prior to becoming a mom. 9 years at home felt simultaneously quick and long, and perhaps I was really just craving change for the sake of satiating my own selfish desires. So when the pandemic hit, it wouldn't take long for it to become abundantly clear that the kids would still be home in the fall, and life as I knew it would stay the same. I would also still be home. Don't get me wrong, I had my moments of quarantine bliss with puzzles to assemble, cookies to bake, books to read, and masks to sew. This introverted homebody couldn't be happier. Forced to stay home with my people? No problem. But at some point, life was distilled back to the normal daily to-dos, and I often wondered if this was all that God had for me. Surely God had more for me than just another year of laundry, housekeeping, and grocery shopping. I found myself becoming restless in the everyday routine. One blessed break from this routine was my time with my accountability group. In one sense, it was yet another way that God was decidedly and mercifully not changing my circumstances. I have been meeting with this godly group of sisters from Lighthouse for over 10 years. God used their constant friendship, prayers, and presence in my life this year to be a stabilizing force for my wavering heart. As we continued to meet via FaceTime and the occasional backyard meeting, it was during one particular meeting through our book study, I came to realize that that even though I wasn't physically pursuing anything, my heart certainly was in pursuit of a success defined by the world's standards. I had forgotten how God defines true success. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, in response to the servant who multiplied the talents that were given him, the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much." I realized God was not as much concerned about the what I was doing, so much as the how I was doing it. The servant was faithful. What a blessing it was to realize that in God's economy, faithfulness was success. I could pour myself out in faithful service to the Lord with whatever he was giving me to do and know that he was more pleased with humble service for his glory, whether I was doing something great or small, public or private. So a year ago, I was looking forward to big changes, and God was faithful to bring change, just not in the way I expected. God hasn't really changed much of my circumstances in my life. In fact, so much of my life looks pretty much the same as it did a year ago. In God's faithfulness, the change he brought about was in my heart. Something we like to remind our kids of is that God doesn't always give us what we want, but he always gives us what we need. And what I needed this year was not a new job or new circumstances, but a reminder to be faithful to the old job that God had entrusted to me, to be faithful in whatever he sets before me.
So I think that for me, a lot of the challenges and changes that I faced were a lot like the ones that most of you experienced, right? Like seemingly overnight, everything seemed to change, particularly for work and at home. As the worship pastor here at Lighthouse, one of my main responsibilities is to oversee our worship services and all the different moving parts of the service. So when COVID started, we were faced with this immense challenge of figuring out what ministry would look like for us as a church when we couldn't physically meet together. And if you've been part of Lighthouse this year, then you know that what we decided to do was transition to recording our services and streaming them online. And what this meant was that we all had to become experts in audio and video production overnight. And seminary prepared me for a lot of things, but live streaming services was not one of them. Thankfully, YouTube had. And it seems really silly, but I really think that one of the ways that God was faithful to me was that he redeemed the countless hours that I've spent on YouTube and online forums learning about audio and video production. So I love this stuff. Eric Little, the famous Christian Olympic runner, said, "God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Well, God made me a nerd, and when I'm pushing buttons, I feel his pleasure." I truly feel like God had prepared me for this very unique season of ministry, and it was an immense privilege to be able to use my giftings and weird inclinations to serve the church. And as exciting as it was also really difficult. Producing videos for ministry was incredibly time-consuming. And I remember one particular day when I actually broke down, and I told Jamie that I just couldn't keep it up. But God was, again, so faithful, and he truly provided what I needed when I needed it. So my cousin Keith, who is our junior high ministry intern, shout out to Keith, he's in the sanctuary right now in our indoor live stream. He's our junior high ministry intern. He lives with us, and he offered to share the video production load. There were volunteers from church like Joseph Yao and Michael Hsu, Nate Leathers. They came on board. They put in countless hours shooting and editing video. And I know this may not seem like the most spiritual of things, but it really meant the world to me this past year. I really needed help, and God provided that help. God continued to provide help at home, too. So Jamie already gave you a little glimpse into the Lee household this year, but while there were certainly feelings of loss over the course of the year, we felt far more blessed than burdened. We really did lack for nothing, and particularly in relationships. So our household right now consists of our family of five, my cousin Keith, who lives in the house, and Jenna Tomita, who lives above our detached garage. So even when COVID started, Jamie and I had the luxury of several options for adult conversation. I think we were probably the only parents with young kids who actually went on a date in the first week of Safer at Home. So we ordered pizza and we sat in the car in the parking lot in the pouring rain, but it was a date. And we knew that that was such a rare blessing that so many were not able to experience. And throughout the year, our home has been constantly flooded by the many beams of light that emanate from this church. Zoom small groups, Lighthouse Kids videos, lingering porch visits from church family members, backyard accountability meetings, texts, emails, phone calls with just the right word from the Lord. When the walls of social distancing and quarantining loom large, God provided deep and abiding relationships when we needed them the most. So we want to thank you, Lighthouse family, for everything. And we don't say this as a pastor and a pastor's wife, but as church members, as friends, as a husband and a father, as a wife and a mother, as sinners that needed to be reminded of what is true, right, noble, lovely, and excellent all throughout this year. It is impossible for us to be thinking about the faithfulness of God this year without thinking about you. And so we're thankful that in the midst of the storm this past year, God kept our little boat afloat right next to yours. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Lighthouse. Just something that occurred to me as David was introducing his wife. I was just going to say, this is Shelley. But one of the jokes at our house is, you know, when you watch Wheel of Fortune and they say, oh, you know, they say, tell a little bit about yourself. And they say, introduce. I always ask Shelley, how are you going to introduce me? Like, when you get on Wheel of Fortune, how are you going to introduce me? I'm going to be the hunky husband or what am I going to be? But this is my beautiful and wonderful wife, Shelley. And so remember that when you're on Wheel of Fortune. When we were asked to share, I think what occurred to us was that there was a lot of people that we felt had it much more difficult than us. But I think what also occurred to us was that God had been so faithful, and we should just want him to receive all glory for his faithfulness. When I talk to others about this past year, I quite often say it was hard and it was good. When the lockdown came, my business nearly dried up completely. We had kind of hoped our company would kind of make up some ground this year, but that kind of seemed impossible with COVID. Felt like our business was close to a finish line, and then someone cruelly pushed it further back. So I kind of needed counsel, and I went to my brother Kim, who's part of that ministry here. And he reminded me of this verse, Isaiah 55:9. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Sorry. I wrote this down in March in response to that verse. I'm only seeing what is going on with limited human eyes, but I can trust that he is doing so much more for my good and for his glory. And I can trust in love and the wisdom of the God who is behind every unseen act on my behalf. This verse caused me to even be excited to see what God would do with the heart. You know, the story continues to be written, but he has done so much more than I can imagine. We've actually made a little progress in our business despite the slow year. God has provided for my family in big and small ways, in part through the generosity of this church. And he's done a work in my heart. I need a lot of work, so he graciously molds me through the waves and storms he places in my life. And one of the other real hard parts of this year, I was hoping it would be this hard. But one of the other hard parts was when Kim suffered a heart attack. I was at home. I was watching a game. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I got the call that he was at the hospital having a heart attack and about to go into surgery. These are the kind of calls that shake you. And then I had the tough task of letting Jen know, and his wife, and I had to call my mom and my brothers. And our whole family was sort of reeling. And the hard part was the fear that I had for Kim. I mean, this is one of the strongest humans I know. More like a two-legged horse. And I worried for Kim and Kim's family for how they were feeling. A sense of my own mortality struck, and though I'm the least important person in my family, who would kill all the bugs and reach all the high things if I was gone? But then, the good. As it says in Romans 9:39, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love came through the church family who overwhelmed us with such love and care. So many expressions of love for Kim and the family came from the church family. And there are so many ready to and willing to serve. Church family, you were amazing. Another blessing that came out of this hard was came in the form of prayer. For some time now, I just desire to have a deeper, more consistent prayer life. And as a pastor here, my heart is that we would all grow in this area. In this hardship, we are all united in one voice, lifting up Kim and the family, humbled and pleading to our sovereign Heavenly Father that He would work, and He did. He sustained and provided, healed and humbled and grew us. And most of all, we are able to draw near and experience an intimacy with God made possible through our brokenness. And it was hard, and yet again, He proved so loving and so faithful.
When school was about to begin in August, Kelly and I began wondering about what virtual school would look like for a child with special needs. How would a child who has comprehension delays learn on her own? How would she navigate Google Classroom, Clever, Zoom, and everything on a computer when she's never had to do much more than type words before? We worried about the academically rigorous teacher she was assigned. We worried and were anxious because we could not control Piper's learning environment. And we were not trusting God at all with Piper's life or her education. As parents of a special needs child, we are encouraged to advocate aggressively. We need to be the ones to speak up for her because if we don't, no one else will. We could not have been more wrong this year in thinking that. In His graciousness, God showed us that He would advocate for Pip. God provided a teacher who ended up being the perfect one for Piper. She gave Pip a lot of one-on-one help and also spent many of her office hours helping Piper to catch up on anything she fell behind on. God also grew Pip to become more independent. Being excellent with routines, she developed her own morning schedule, complete with quiet time, breakfast, and being logged into class by 9 a.m. She had alarms set before each class, reading group, speech time, special ed class, and lunch club, and was responsible for getting to those on time by herself. Through this unique time of being home, God allowed me to be present to see when and how Piper struggled in school, and to be with her to encourage and hug her when there were tears. In a classroom at school, I would have had no idea of her struggles and could never have been able to comfort her like that. Having this front row seat to her learning environment with full-time virtual school this year has been truly a blessing and has allowed me to understand her special world even more. Another area that provided opportunity for growth was in my work life. With quarantine came one of the best outcomes I have hoped for, working from home and being with my girls. I was able to keep steady hours for a while, but due to financial strains the movie company encountered, a bunch of crew members were cut a few months ago. Although I wasn't completely let go, my hours were reduced to 16 a week. That was a punch in the gut for me. I became immediately worried about more loss of income on top of the hit Kelly's company had already taken. I worried about health insurance and retirement benefits. But most of all, pridefully, I worried about my status at work. I felt disposable, unnecessary, unneeded, and definitely not essential. I wanted to feel admired, valuable, and important at my job for the things I could accomplish. But God is the one whose importance I was supposed to be displaying, not my own. In Romans 12, verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment." That truth helped me to sit back and understand that I am just a little part of a ginormous crew working together to make a movie, and that in and of myself, I am nothing. I had thought way too highly of myself, and God needed to fix that. But through gentle reminders from loved ones, God reminded me that he is in control and that this is all happening for my good and his glory. Besides helping me to recognize my fear of man at work, I was soon able to see that God was giving me an amazing gift. More time with Zoe before she goes off to college. This has been the game changer for me. Sorry, we're a bunch of crybabies in the cure house. When she's away next year in the dorms, I know I won't be saying I wish I would have worked more. But instead, thank you, Jesus, for the time you gave me off work. I shouldn't look at you. So I could have more moments with Zoe. I get teary-eyed. We're really bad at this. I get teary-eyed every time I think about how the days of her living at home full-time are dwindling fast. But I'm thankful that Zoe is home every day. I'm thankful for the time I get to interact with her, time I get to have chats with her, and time to teach her life skills before she leaves the nest. I am thankful for her constant singing, endless chatter, and TikTok dances. I am thankful because I know I would not have had this time if it weren't for full-time virtual school and a reduced workload. So thank you, Jesus, for this year of unexpected blessings sneaking through in the midst of what seemed like trials and tribulation at first.
This year was hard and it was good. We would not have asked for this year, but thankful to our great God for it. Again, it wasn't in spite of the hard, but because of it. And I hope you'll see in our story the picture of people that don't have it all together and continue to struggle, but are recipients of his wonderful grace and daily mercies. Recently, one of my brothers here at Lighthouse was struggling, hurting for his daughter that was just went through a painful surgery. I texted them this: "There must be a reason God allows scars to remain and not disappear. Maybe to remind us of a fallen world and that we are made for another, or to remind us of a time that he proved so faithful. My hope is that we would not see this past year as a lost one, something to cast from our memory, but when this past year comes to mind, that we would be thankful and amazed for how faithful God has been. Thank you."
Well, I hope that was a grace for you to hear. Personally, I think for me, it was good to be reminded that outside of kind of my own myopic little world, that God is active and moving. He's not hampered by the coronavirus. He's not keeping socially distanced. He's not waiting for things to open up. Like through it all, he's just constantly been gracious to us as his children. And so many ways we see, and yet so many more that we don't even notice. And so before I close in prayer and we close the musical worship, I wanted to again encourage you to spend some time this week, just both on your own and with others, thanking God for his faithfulness. Fuel your faith as you consider how faithful God has been. This past week, the staff shared some of the ways that they are thankful, and it just encouraged my heart to be reminded of the many, many ways that God has been gracious over this past year. Some of them were big, things like seeing people come to faith and just being amazed that God would grant us that grace. For others, it was just seeing how the church pursued community and ways to love each other in difficult times. For others, it was seeing people serve during a unique time, formally and informally, oftentimes in ways that were outside their comfort zone, like being filmed for our children's ministry or things like that. For others, they just were thankful for Zoom and how it offered a unique opportunity to minister and to get to know others in ways that might have not been afforded to them on a Sunday morning. And then for some, they were just so thankful even recently to see you or to see your kids, you know, and just to how in those times of fellowship they felt the joy of the Lord. And personally, as I was so thankful just that they were willing to magnify God in their thanksgiving, because it definitely resulted in my good, but ultimately in God's glory. And so I needed to hear their thankfulness. So let me close this in prayer. Dearly Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for the chance to come together to celebrate, not ourselves, but you, our loving and faithful God. And as we have taken a moment to reflect, we are overwhelmed by your grace and mercy to us who don't deserve it. And so, Lord, we confess that too often we don't remember. We become caught up in the challenges of life and of the season, and we neglect to acknowledge your undeserved mercies to us. And so, Lord, help us to remember and meditate on your loving faithfulness. Help us to see your greatness and your goodness towards us, not just during the storms of life, but even through them. And as we do, Lord, we pray that our faith for you would be fueled so that we might love you more and worship you in greater ways. Lord, you're good in ways that we don't deserve it. We thank you and we praise you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.